You are listening to Keep It Real with Terry and Sonny. And today, we're going to be talking about some key events in Christ's life. And today, we'll be talking about baptism. And if we have time, we're going to talk about the first miracle. Okay. And I think it's very important that as a Christian, to know all the key events that happen in Christ's life. Because it's not just about Christ, it's about what Christ did, and it all relates to our life, you know.
Right.
We're supposed to know what Christ did as a man walking the earth, and everything he did, we're supposed to be doing.
Right.
So it's very important that we know what he did. In the full Gospels, they show his life when he was on this earth. And so as we learn these, you'll get these key events. And the last one we talked about, Christ's birth, and basically that's the Christmas story, okay? But today we're going to talk about baptism. And that's in Matthew 3, 13 to 17. Also, it's in Mark 1, 9 to 11. It's also in Luke 3, 21 to 23. Now, for time, we're not going to read all the scriptures, but y'all go back and read these scriptures. And one of the things, check us out. Make sure what we talk about is what
exactly.
You know, it's what we're saying. You know, the scriptures, we tell you scriptures, you need to go check them out. And the thing is, as you do this with an open heart and open mind, God's going to reveal some things to you. He's right. Going to give you these little nuggets, you know, all right? So go study the word. Praise God. So we're talking about baptism. This is a key moment, event in Jesus' life. Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist at the Jordan River. Now, if you watch all the movies of Christ, it always has that in the movie. You know,
right.
you picture that the stream, the Jordan River, and you got John the Baptist, and he's baptizing. Got a whole, you know, maybe 20, 30 people there. And the thing was that John, his ministry was repentance. You know, he say, repent, repent. You know, like it's time to repent. And everybody be getting baptized, and they be repenting of their sins. You know, and all along Jesus shows up, all right, and he comes to get baptized, right? And the thing was, the minute John saw him, you know, he knew he was the one.
Exactly.
You know, and he even said that. He told that to the crowd, you know, and then the thing was, John really told Jesus, look, I'm not worthy,
exactly.
Man. I'm not worthy. You should be baptizing me. And Jesus says, no, we're going to, how it says that John was all about repentance. And Jesus didn't need repentance, Jesus, but he says he did it in order to identify himself with the sinners. You know?
Right. And not only that, but he also said that all righteousness may be fulfilled.
Right.
See, God has of old prophesied that, and in order for the scriptures to be fulfilled, it had to be done. Because Jesus had to be baptized. Well, I'm not going to get ahead of you, mm-hmm. but you know, that was to show that we need to be baptized,
right,
when we get saved. Because everything Christ did is a model for us.
Right.
And what Christ did, we should definitely be doing. And one thing is, and Christ got baptized, is showing that we need to be baptized. Because when we get baptized, it's a dying of the flesh and a rebirth of the spirit. So when you're baptized in the water, your body goes into the water grave and your new man's born.
Yeah.
And after you, if I read the scripture correctly, you can't receive the power of the Holy Spirit until you get baptized, because Jesus didn't get it until he was baptized, and then the Spirit came on him.
Right, right. And the other thing I want to bring out is that this was Jesus' first act of public ministry. You know,
right.
This is his first time he went out in public and did his ministry. I want to bring that point out too. So, and this is really a very important event. Okay, the baptism of Christ symbolized his death and resurrection. You know,
right.
And today, when a person gets baptized, I'm talking about somebody gets baptized, like an adult or a child. That's what it is. You will want everybody to know publicly that I accepted Christ, and I'm showing his death and resurrection.
Right,
right,
right. It's an outward sign of
right.
your acceptance of Christ and everything. And you know, another thing I wanted to bring out is I was thinking about this. I was passing the channels. I was trying to find something to watch on TV, and that's so hard these days to find things to watch on TV because there's just not really nothing good watching TV. I like to watch the Olympics a little bit, but I don't like to watch the women part of the Olympics. They got too much reveal, too much stuff in it. I like to watch the guy stuff, or I like to watch some of the ladies, like when they do the shooting and everything. Mm-hmm. And I was watching it, but they had the women part came on, so I turned it off, and I was waiting for the basketball to come on, because when I was watching it, they had a commercial came on, and it's about this new show they got coming. This guy gets superpowers with some rings and everything. And you know, the movie theater, they know what people want to watch. Because that's what they put out. They put out what people want to watch. And so that's why you're seeing all these shows, X-Men and Marvels and Spider-Man and Supermans and things. Because people want power. Yeah. They want the power. They want to do great things. God already, that's not a bad thing. God put that us in us to want the power. Because we should want the power of God in our lives. Yep. That is God ordained to have that in us. Mm-hmm. But the problem is, they want the power, mm-hmm. but they don't want God.
Right.
They want it another way. Yeah. They want to be able to do things they want to do and still sin. Mm-hmm. And so that's why they'll make these shows about Spider-Man and Superman and X-Man and Hercules and Hulk and all these things. Men of great power that can do great things. But they can do a thing. And you stop and think about Jesus. Jesus, when he got baptized in the Holy Spirit, he got the power. Yeah. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. He got baptized with it. Mm-hmm. And what did he do with his power? He used it for good. You don't see, because Jesus had the power to walk on water. If he had the power to walk on water, I imagine he had the power to walk through walls. Well, and if he could have walked through walls, why didn't he walk into Herod's safe and just take all the money and just haul it off with him? Because that wasn't worth nothing to him. And in heaven, the streets are paved with gold. Yeah, right. Who wants gold? Yeah. My father's house, the whole everything's made out of gold. What do you want pavement for, you know? So in the world, the world wants the power. But the true power comes from right here, right. In the baptism.
Amen, amen.
Because that's when we die and we're born a new creature. And then that's when we're born a heavenly creature. And when we're born a heavenly creature, that's when we have God's power inside of us.
Amen. So the proper order would be to first accept Christ as Lord and Savior, get saved.
That's number one.
And then you're going to heaven, okay?
Right.
The next would be to be baptized in water.
Right.
Right?
You got to get baptized in the water, because when you get baptized, the baptism is like a ring. Like our pastor said, it's like a ring. Like when you get married to your spouse and everything, you're married. But the ring is an outward sign to show everybody, say, hey, look, I'm married to Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Amen. That's a good
one. And I'm married to Jesus now. And then you're showing it. Because God, Jesus said, if you will not be ashamed of me in front of people, then I will not be ashamed of you in front of my Father.
Right.
And a lot of times people want to get saved, uh-huh. and they want to give their heart to God.
Right.
But they don't want nobody to know,
true.
Because they're ashamed of them. Right. And you know, I was listening to a preacher. He said, Jesus is not coming back for confessing Christians. Mm-hmm. He's coming back for living Christians, people
right.
who are living the Word of God, following the Word of God, doing the Word of God. That's who Jesus is coming back
right.
for. Right. If you look around, according to the news, 98% of this country is a Christian country. This is called the Christian country. But if you look around, you
right.
go around the world, you see people, how they're acting, they're not, most people don't act like Jesus,
yeah.
you
yeah.
know, and everything. And that's good, because that gives us ground to sow in, ground
right,
to work,
right,
you know, and
right.
that's not a bad thing.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Salvation, and then they should get water baptized. Then the next thing would be baptized in the Holy Spirit.
Baptism
you
of the Holy Spirit.
The power. You see the gifts of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
You know, and that's when I think a lot of people, you know, if you receive it properly and you got good teaching about it.
We will stop here for today and continue with this at our next episode.
You are listening to Keep It Real with Terry and Sonny. And today we got a lesson. It's a foundational lesson, and it's a lesson that you got to get down first, okay?
Right.
And because it's going to be a continuation, okay? And we're always going to come back and say you need to come watch this one first because we're going to have a lot of principles laid on, and if you jump in anywhere else, it might be a little bit harder to get the concept. But if you go back to this, the first one, the foundational lesson, then that's going to help, okay? And the title of it is God's End Time Harvest. God End Time Harvest. The key word is harvest, right?
Right.
And we're talking about souls. We're talking about winning souls, right? And you want to share anything?
Right. That's what it's about. That's the whole thing is about, in the end, is the souls. You know, that's what it's all about. It's about for both sides, the enemy and for us, and for God's side. They're all out to the souls.
Yeah, because, I mean, you always got people dying, right?
Right.
But you always got people being born, okay?
Exactly.
And everybody that's being born, they need it, all right?
You hear about God.
Because
they're definitely going to hear about the world, so if we don't put it out there for them.
And then even the ones that haven't accepted Christ and say no, for whatever reason, they still got to the last breath.
Exactly.
To change that.
To change their mind, yeah.
Yeah. So can't give up on them neither, right?
Nope. And actually, as they get older, and people get older, they're more likely to accept Jesus because they start realizing that they're about ready to die. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That the world doesn't revolve around them no more. So I heard about this guy. He was like a multi-millionaire or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I was like, they were saying how he accepted Jesus and everything.
Right.
And I was like, I never would have guessed this guy to give his heart to God. This guy was wicked. You know what I'm saying? He was a heathen. Well, but what happened was he got to the end of his life and he's like, I'm fixing to go into the afterworld and this stuff is fixing to come to fruition. True. You know what I'm saying? My cards are fixing to get laid out on the table. I'm about ready to get called. Right. You know what I'm saying? I need to start thinking about what I got to do.
That's right.
You know, and you know what? God can bring anybody around. You know what I'm saying?
I hate to say this, but I think a lot of people on their deathbed, that's what they do. They really look at that and they look at their life and they look what happened. And they say, well, man, just, I better, you know, they think about it. And then, you know, of course, the Spirit of God moves on them and other people might go share their last minute. But the thing of it is, a lot of them at their deathbed, they accept Christ.
Exactly. That's the love of God that does that. You know, give people all the way up to the end to change. Right. Give a change. I had a friend, one time I had a friend of mine and that I knew, but I didn't see him years. I didn't see him. And then all of a sudden, I found out he was in the hospital and the Lord told me to go visit him. I didn't want to go visit him because he was in the hospital and everything. I didn't see him in a long time, but I wound up going to visit him like the Lord said. And the Lord told me when I went in there, I need to tell him to basically help him get his heart back right.
Right.
And so I said, well, Lord, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to need to be able to get in there. Because he got a lot of people going to see this guy, and I'm going to need to be able to get in there. Well, so I said, I was kind of wrestling with the Lord back and forth. Well, I said, okay, Lord, I give up. I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to go out there and I'm going to do it. Well, I walked down the hallway. They had lines of people on both sides of the hallway waiting to get in the room. Uh-huh. And the guy's wife seen me coming down the hallway. She said, oh, y'all move out the way. Sonny's here. Sonny's here.
Yeah.
And I'm like, she didn't even know I was coming.
Wow.
And she said, he needs to go in there.
Yeah.
And because she was a Christian. And she said, he needs to go in there. And I'm like, okay, I felt like somebody important, you know? And so I walked past everybody. I went in the room. I went in there, and she said, look, y'all go ahead. You need to talk to him by yourself and everything. I said, I'm like, okay, no problem. So I got in the room, and I went in the room with the guy and everything. And I said, look, I said, obviously God wants me to talk to you because he didn't set everything up. I said, God told me you got this sin, this sin, this sin, this sin in your life. And I said, you need to get it out. Wow. I said, you need to ask God for forgiveness. So I told him, and he asked God for forgiveness for those sins. He gave his heart to Jesus back again. He rededicated his heart to Jesus back right again in there. And then the next night, that night he died.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? But that's how God is. That's how loving God is. Right up to the end. Like you said, you can't give up on people.
Right. Okay. And our scripture for this lesson, and again, remember, this lesson is it's a fundamental lesson. Okay. All right. It's the basics of you got to have a good foundation, then you can build on it. Right. And that's what we're trying to establish today. Okay. All right. Memory verse is in Proverbs 3:22, and God's word says, A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, but the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Now, we're basically focusing on the second part, but the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. But the first part is that you're receiving that. You're receiving that right. wealth, okay? You can't have the first part until you do the second part.
Right,
and
right,
the second
right.
part, God's got it all laid out.
Right.
How to do that. And he's got principles, you know, and things. And God's word and commandments and principles, if you do those words.
Exactly, exactly. That's the scripture in Proverbs. It's at the end of Proverbs, Proverbs 26. It says, to go out, plant your fields, harvest your grains, mm-hmm. Shear your sheep, sell your goats, do all these things. But in the middle of that script, those scriptures, it said, And kingdoms will not last forever.
Right.
It says it right in the middle of it. And God, and what God's saying is, you got to do some things. You got to just go out and do things. Don't worry whether or not what's going to happen, because things are just going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But a lot of times, you know, I was listening to a testimony. Most of y'all heard of this guy, Robert Kiyosaki, his name was, and everything, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Mm-hmm. And his daughter was saying the enemy of most people becoming better self-sufficient in their life is fear.
Yeah, fear.
They're always afraid to do something, you know. Sure. Because we all have right. opportunities that come up in our lives where God wants to bless us.
Right.
But a lot of times we get that reservedness, but we're afraid to go out and step out to do the new thing. Whether it's a new job, buying a new car, or mm-hmm. or just getting some kind of deal. We all have that chance, and we're afraid to step out.
It's just listen to God or the Holy Spirit. You know?
Exactly.
And just have that faith and trust and don't have that fear. I have a little example on that cost me a lot of money, because I had in me, but I thought it was me though. But the other car I had, well, it was, I think it was a 2013, I think it was. But anyway, I felt the edge to go trade it in and buy a new car. But I didn't want to get in debt, okay?
Right.
But besides that, you know, I should have did it. But I also was scared because I hadn't bought a car in years, okay?
Right.
So you know, I'm afraid I'm going to go in there and I'm going to get ripped off or whatever. You know, that's just me, okay? They're talking about the fear, okay?
Right.
Can't let that make your decision. So anyway, I didn't. I think about 6 or 8 months later, the car broke.
Mm.
Now, the car was paid off, okay? But again, the car broke. It cost me $1,800 to get fixed.
Exactly.
Now, if I would have just went ahead off of that in faith and trusted God and don't let that fear get me, I would have went ahead and traded that car in then and got the car. Because I had to do it anyway. I had to go get a car anyway.
Exactly. Okay?
So anyway, I got rid of that car. I would have got a little bit more for it, you know, because of the miles. I would have got a little bit more for it, and then I wouldn't have had to cost off $1,800.
Exactly, you know? Exactly. You know, and that's the thing, stepping out sometimes. And that you got to step out
mm-hmm.
and out of the fear zone. And once you get out of the fear zone, then you can become more prosperous.
Right.
Then see the thing that you see, though, a lot of people get confused about the whole financial thing. They think God wants to bless you. I mean, they want you, money's evil and it's going to make you do bad things and everything. Right. But if you read that, mm-hmm. if you read the scripture right there and it talks about it, it's to bless your children.
Right, right, right.
It's not for you to become wealth. God doesn't want to bless you just so you could be a greedy, miserly person.
No, it's
everything.
not about how much you got. It's about giving.
It's about the giving part.
Yeah,
right.
Okay.
Exactly. It's about the giving part. And that's what God focuses on.
Right. And going back to the memory verse, Proverbs 3:22, it says a good man, okay? He wants to leave an inheritance.
Exactly. A good man.
Church. He's going to be a good man if he does that, okay?
Exactly. You're a good man, right.
And then the second part says, it talks about the wealth of the sinners. That's somebody not saved. That's somebody, and he can be somebody, he's filthy rich, but he's a sinner, okay? He says, that is going to be later for the just. So who's the just? You and me is a just, and everybody out there is a Christian that's saved.
But and that scripture is happening right now more than most people know about it. Because you hear about it all the time on TV, how these millionaires mm-hmm. or multi-billionaires are giving all kind of more money now mm-hmm. than they ever did in their whole lives.
Right.
Because you hear about these big philanthropists who or like Jeff Bezos mm-hmm. and George Soros and mm-hmm. all these guys that own these big companies. But they're giving their money away to all right, these things. Right, they're giving right. to all these organizations. And I know that some of the Christian organizations are, might not be Christian organizations, but they're still giving it out. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. They're still giving it away to people right. and everything. Because right. God just has a way to make sure the people right. that need the money gets the money. You know what I mean? Whether you know, that's one thing you can trust in God right. for. God's faithful.
Right.
Like that guy I talked about before, George Mueller, he would never ask nobody for nothing. When he needs something, he go to the Lord. And the Lord just made sure he got what he needed. And that's right. what God wants to do.
Right.
You know, whether it, and you know, but he doesn't always bring it the way we think he's going to bring it.
No.
Sometimes by that scripture about the just and the unjust, the sin, the righteous, it might not come the way George Soros himself or Jeff Bezos himself might not come and hand you a check.
No.
You know what I'm saying? That might not be the way God's going to do it. But you know what? You know, the God made it a way though, because look, everybody, they got the stimulus checks. Mm-hmm. A lot of people needed that money.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That money, and it helped them out a lot. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That could be kind of a way our government is not really righteous right now.
Yeah.
That they're doing a lot of things wrong. So that could be kind of a way of God bringing money around to us. You know what I'm saying?
Well, that's
it's just an idea. You know what I'm saying?
These lessons are going geared to that, you know?
Exactly.
You know? But you're going to see in our lessons to come how that wealth, I mean, a lot of that wealth can come to you if
exactly.
you do the principles God lays
exactly.
out.
Exactly.
It's not going to happen overnight. I mean, God could move a miracle, but I mean, mostly he's got to make sure you can trust you. He's not going to pull a whole lot of money on you if he knows you're going to go blow it on something. go in the gamble hall or something.
Yeah, there's a lot of things I want to do. Well, not only that, but I always say that all the time. God loves you. And by loving you, he doesn't want to crush you.
Right, true.
You know what I'm saying?
True.
But he wants you to learn how to handle his principles.
The whole thing again is about saving souls. Well, he don't want to lose you to go save souls.
Right.
If you're going to get crushed, like you just said.
You know?
You know, so he's not going to put you in that fix until you're ready.
You know, that's the thing about it is, you know, I find with myself, I wrestle with this sometimes. And I not only wrestle with it as much as I used to wrestle with it, but I used to wrestle with it. Because when God would start blessing, it was like you start getting the blessings coming in. There's something in you wants to get miserly. You just want to, I think of Daffy Duck with the little pearl, you know, on top of the oyster. He's like, and he sees the little pearl in the oyster, and he's like, mine. He's just holding it a little tight, you know what I'm saying? Mine. And because she doesn't want to share it. And then he says, close sesame, and the little thing closes on top of him, you know what I'm saying? Right. And then the whole world closes around, you know, and that's what, but God doesn't want us to be like that. There's a scripture in the Bible that said, God gives you so you can be a blessing.
Right.
Just give out.
Establish the covenant. Establish his kingdom.
Right.
You know, winning souls. The harvest. Okay?
Exactly.
That's what it's really what he wants. And through that, you're going to get blessed. Okay.
Exactly.
You're going to be blessed where you better live good. Okay. But, you know, but you got to get in the word and find all these principles about that.
Yeah.
Which we're going to be covering in the future lessons.
Yeah. And a lot of people, a lot of it is people don't understand it. Money is mentioned not as many times, but it's mentioned almost as many times as salvation in the Bible. You know what I'm saying? Because money is mentioned a lot. God talks about money a lot because money doesn't make you happy.
No.
But money helps you to get the things that do make you happy.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying? If you got money, stop and think about it. If I had money, then I can go around and I can go buy some crawfish for my family. You know what I'm saying? Just an idea. You know what I'm saying? And then all my kids can come over and eat crawfish.
Yeah.
Now imagine how happy I would be sitting all my kids at the table enjoying themselves eating
them
crawfish.
Shake those heads, make them eyes.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, boy.
The money didn't make me happy, but seeing my family eating crawfish makes me happy.
Eating all that fat out that head.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Cool. But you see, that's the whole thing. It's used to make you happy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? When you don't, when you ain't got no bills, and you don't have to be stressed out, or like if one, I tell you, I was here, and I know what this is like. So you know,
me too.
And so afraid that if something breaks, I'm gonna crash.
Look,
it's just one thing. That's all it took. Just one. I'm over my head. I got building on top of building. I got this. I was making, I was the top paid fitter in the shipyard. Mm-hmm. I was making buku money. Mm-hmm. And I would get paid on Friday, okay? Mm-hmm. By the time Wednesday came around, I was borrowing money. That's,
I know, I was there.
I was borrowing money to make it to Friday.
That's right.
And I was making top pay. I was making good money. Yeah. But I wasn't operating in God's principles.
That's right. That's, you said and I was
and I was miserable.
I'm not operating God's principle. You said a lot right there. And that's what we want to share, okay?
Exactly.
We want to share so you can get in on this. Because God says we all get a Christian always gets get a portion. We all get a portion. And that portion can be, you say a portion don't sound like a lot. Well, the portion, if you do what you said, get in those principles and do them, that portion can be huge.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Well, it's definitely going to be more than what you need.
Yeah.
You know, that's one thing about God. God, you know, and most people do not understand the love of God. Right. God not only gives you what you need, but he gives you extra.
Right, right.
He's going to give you, he goes exceedingly abundantly above all you can act or think of.
Mm-hmm.
Exceedingly abundantly above is exceedingly abundantly above all I can act or think of. It's not just what I can think of.
Right.
It's exceedingly abundantly above what I can think of.
Yeah, and you know, and we not, like that scripture said, you'll get the wealth of the world, you know.
Right.
I ain't there yet. I know Sonny ain't there yet, but we're getting there.
We're working
on it. But we're not like we was 6 years ago.
No,
I was paycheck by paycheck.
Me too.
And I was in debt, okay? That
Me
was
too.
Six, almost 7 years ago. But through God, and that's why I'm hungry to get no more of the principles and no more, because I want to keep going this route.
Exactly.
But I also know now the purpose is for God's going to have an end time harvest.
Exactly.
And I want to talk about that a little bit more because our time's starting to run out. God's end time harvest. This is a foundational lesson. You got to get this. End time harvest and end time are different. They are different. The Bible talks about the end times. Okay,
right.
We're not talking about that. We're talking about God's end time harvest. Let me explain. The end times in the Bible, the end times are events that's going to happen. They're end time prophecies. Okay,
right.
I listed three of them. There's more than three. It's about seven or so, but I listed three so you can get an idea. This is when the Bible talks about end times. This is what the Bible's talking about. Okay, I got the first one: the rapture of the church.
Come on.
All right. The rapture of the church, and that's in 1 Corinthians 15:52. Okay? All right? Look it up. Okay? That's got to happen. Okay, the next one is the rise of the Antichrist. Okay? That's in 2 Thessalonians 2:1 and also in 7:8. Okay? And then the other one's the tribulation. It breaks the tribulation in half. You know, so that's all things that's end times. When the Bible talks about end times and the prophecy, that's what they're talking about. Right. We are talking about the end time, God's end time harvest.
Right.
We're talking about souls. It's going to be one big push. And personally, I feel it's going to be more. It could happen in a day. But I think it's going to happen. Maybe it might be weeks. It might be months. It might be years. That period. You know what I mean? We're already in it right now. Okay.
Right.
You know, but God's going to have a big revival. I'm talking about the whole world is going to know, going to hear about the gospel. I mean, don't know how God's going to actually do
it. Well, I think that's happening now, Terry.
It's happening.
With the internet, you know what I'm saying?
Yes,
the internet is pushing the gospel. You know, a lot of people, a lot of churches are struggling because they can't have the door.
Right.
But a lot of churches are seceding.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, you have like churches that are on the internet.
Getting close.
They're bumping out record numbers.
It's happening
because they're able to go to all the parts of the world now. You can have a small church in somewhere in a little bitty old town, and nobody even none of the people even hardly know about it. But then you take that same church, you put it on the internet,
mm-hmm.
and that same church can be reaching all the way in Africa.
Oh, definitely,
it can be reaching all the way in Afghanistan. Yeah. It can reach anywhere in the world, you know what I'm saying?
Right, yeah.
Because all these people are finding out because these people are hungry for Jesus. They want to know about God.
Yeah.
They want to know about it because they never heard about it.
Yeah.
You know, so they're excited, and so it's happening.
Right.
As we're in the midst of it.
So again, when we won't be talking about God's end time harvest, we talking about this is going to happen before Christ comes back.
Come on.
For the rapture of the church. Okay, you know, because there's going to be that one big push. that see, God wants everybody saved, but he says he knows not everybody's going to come to him. But he wants to pick this big old push and get everybody can, you know, before he says. But and also, I know we're in it right now, but I know we ain't at that point yet because in the word it says that, you know, Christ won't come back until the gospel's preached all over, until his harvest is done.
Right, it's close, but it's not quite there, you said.
No, but that's why it's so critical we know this, because it's there. Right. And God needs every Christian to help. I mean, I think that's why it's delayed. I think that's delayed because a lot of Christians don't really know what the word says about it, or they're dragging their feet with it, you know? I know I dragged my feet up about this a fall. I didn't know all of this yet, like I know now, but I used to drag my feet because I used to think, well, I ain't got anything. I can't give, you know? But hey, all the Christian experts say, if you ain't got no money, you're in debt and you want to get out, you give. You give money.
Exactly. You know there's a scripture in the Bible that says, if you give a prophet a glass of water, you get the prophet's reward.
Right.
That's just a glass of water.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, giving, there's all kind of ways to give. Mm-hmm. Giving, you give of your time, you give of yourself.
Right.
You can give what you need, you know, and just investing into people, you know, investing.
Right.
Like that's spending all, time, putting your support. Wisdom into people. That's all part of it, you know. If I just take one person a year and pour my life into them and get them saved, get them on fire for God. One person a year, and let's say you do that for 20 years, that's 20 people. You didn't change the Lord.
Right,
Just one person. Right. And then that's not counting how many people they can do it. It's like almost like a pyramid scheme, you know what I'm saying?
Because
one person gets one person saved, the two people get two people saved, and then you just keep working his way down.
But that's all important, and that's all.
Exactly.
Well, we should all be doing that. But I'm looking at a bigger scale.
Right.
And this is, let me finish this, and I'm going to explain a little bit more. See, God's end time harvest. The key word is harvest, okay? And it says, we're talking about God's harvest for all the souls that need to be born for God. And that's right before the rapture of the church. Okay. Now to do this, God's end time harvest, to get this done, it's going to take resource and money, resources of the world.
Right.
You know, think about it. And I'm going to talk about how much that God put in this world. God created this world. He created everything in it. He owns everything. You think we're going to run out of oil? No. You think we're going to run out of gold? No. You think we're going to run out of silver? No. It's there for a purpose. And it's there for us, you know, for us. Now, all the unjust people, sinners, they got all the wealth. They got all that. Well, God says it's going at the end time. Before the end time comes, he's going to start putting that in our hands. Okay? Now, think about that. But we have to do our part. You know, God does his part, and God's part is 100 times more than we do. But you still got to do your part. You know?
Let me see if I can say this correctly.
I'm getting excited.
Yeah, I'm going to say it right. You know, and a reason why I just want to backtrack a little bit, say one thing. The reason why the wicked are so blessed, because they're operating in the principles.
Yeah.
They're doing what God said to do.
And
they're not even saved.
Right. Dude, that's a good point. He's going to let them get well because they're doing the principles. He knows.
Because his word is true. If they don't come to him, saved or not.
I said, but he wants us to have. He wants his children to have.
And that's the problem. Uh-huh. They're operating the principle because they give. They do it. They sow and they give. They sow and they give and they invest and they do things they need that God said to do. All things God said to do. But the people of the world, the people of God's people, we're afraid.
Yeah.
We're afraid to go out and step out and do things because we got that fear in our heart. And so we don't want to step out and do it. Then we'll wonder why we're not operating in the God's principles.
That's right. I mean, you look at a man that's wealthy or a woman that's wealthy, they have, you know, really wealthy, but they're unjust, okay? Or they're sinners, okay? Well, God can tell them, well, I want you to give, and all this for this. You think they're going to do it? If they're sinners, they're not going to do it. They don't have Jesus in their heart. 9 out of 10 times.
Well, they'll give, but they won't give to the places
They'll give to get.
They'll give for tax purposes.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, you get money off my taxes. I can save all this money on my taxes. You know what I'm saying? They know how to work the system. And the problem, that's the problem is most people, we don't take our time to learn what we need to learn. I've been studying this stuff for years, Terry, and I realize I don't know nothing.
I know.
You know what I'm saying? Because I've been looking into it, researching it and everything, trying to figure out what I'm doing wrong.
Right.
And I can put my finger right here on my problem. My 9% of my problem is two things.
Uh-huh.
One is fear. The second one is laziness.
Yeah, that's the two big.
You don't want to step out and do it because you just don't want to do it.
And you know why?
And the second one is you're afraid to do it.
You know why I haven't gone more than I am right now? It's not proper English, but anyway, it's because of fear and laziness. That's why where I'm at.
It's the truth.
But I have did a little bit more to get where I'm at. You know?
Yeah.
Because I'm out of debt. Okay. Except for my car note, I'm out of debt. Okay. I own everything else. Okay. But at one time, I was living paycheck to paycheck, and I owed everybody, you know.
Exactly.
You know, so I'm better off than I am now, and I can give like I want now.
Exactly.
You know, and that's the beginning, okay? That's the beginning, because it's like a snowball. It's like a big cliff of snow on a mountain. You start a little snowball, and it goes down, and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger.
Exactly.
Bigger.
It builds up momentum.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the way it goes. You know, because it even said that in the scripture. That's another one it says in the scripture in Proverbs. It talks about how a lazy man can have all these nice, fertile fields, but if he don't do nothing with the fields and till it up and plant the garden, he's not going to have nothing.
Right.
You know, and that's the two big killers for Christians.
Yeah,
it's not, and not that they don't want to do it.
Right.
They just don't want to do it. You know what I'm saying?
Cause, I mean,
you know, I tell people all the time, people always spend money on what they want to spend money on, but they'll never spend money on what they don't want to spend money on.
Right.
And you see it all the time. If you really want something, you're going to find a way to get what you want. And if you really don't want something, you're going to find every excuse not to get what you want. I hear it all. You hear that story over and over and over and over.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, man, you know what? Man, you can, down the road right here, they got this piece of property. This guy's selling for $1,000. He's selling for $1,000. There's nothing wrong with it. You don't have no liens on it. Everything's good. Right, man, you can take that same piece of property and turn it around and once you buy it and sell it back for $10,000.
Wow.
And you hear a story like that.
Uh-huh.
But you know how many people will turn that down.
Uh-huh.
Oh, well, there might be something wrong with the property. There's something, you know,
yeah.
You know, I don't want that. I don't got time to mess with that.
Yeah.
You know, and you hear all these stories.
Right.
But that's opportunity. And that was me. That's the same thing with me. I'm right now, I know of a good deal. I should be jumping on it, but I'm like, I don't want to waste my time on that. You know what I'm saying? I got other things I want to do. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But then you'll find time, oh, you're on the tablet playing little games and everything. You know, you know what I'm saying? It's just the truth of who we are,
what I'm saying? You know, we kind of jumped around a little bit with this foundation, but we're gonna go more into principles later. But
sorry, guys.
But that's okay. But I mean, it's something I'm passionate about. I just can't put the barber down. I can't put.
Well, the thing about it was, we was there.
Yeah.
We was there. We know what it's like. That's how we know what the problems are, because we was there.
Right.
And the thing about it is, it all ties in together.
Yeah.
Because number one is, if you don't have no money, you can't help people. And you can't bless people.
You can't do what God wants
you to
do.
You can't give to people.
No.
Like they can have a church that like they got, we got a friend of ours that's fixing to go start an orphanage and everything, working the orphanage and everything. If we don't have no money, we can't bless him.
And that's it.
And help him to build and to help him get those that orphanage working where he can bring people to God. And that's part of the end time harvest. Both of them the two harvests tie in together.
True.
You gotta have money to facilitate it.
And talking about that. The last part I want to talk about, because we're almost out of time, is that how much wealth is in the world? And this I want to talk. This is some facts I found in a book. Now, this book was published in 1989. And all the facts they put, it said this is in the next 20 years, this is what's going to come out of the world, okay? Now, the 20 years has passed. It's a little over 20 years since they printed this.
Right.
So imagine that wealth that they talking about that came from the world. And the thing is, it hadn't stopped here. It's that you're going to have probably maybe twice this for the next 20 years. But just some of the things, okay? It says right here. This is coming from the world that God created and he put in it, okay? You know, okay, and there's a purpose why he did that. Okay, $220 billion of copper.
Wow.
$300 billions of dollars of silver. $360 billion of aluminum. $600 billion of dollars of iron, tin, zinc, and lead. And $50 trillion of gold.
Sure.
Okay? And so that came out right there. That came out to 51 trillion $480 billion worth that came from the world, okay?
And so there's still more out there.
Yeah, that's the point I'm trying to make.
Yeah, and that's not even counting the diamonds and the rubies and all that, and all, like you said, all that other stuff. Stuff that's still in the ground.
Think about this, and I'm not finished. Look at some other stuff they put. Okay. Also, there's $16 trillion of all in the last 20 years. $1.5 trillion of barley, $4 trillion of corn, $19 trillion of meat, $4 trillion of rice, $4 trillion of pork, and $3.6 trillion of wheat. And that's just some. I mean, they got more, you know. And again, that's the last past 20 years, okay?
Exactly.
But they don't stop there because God still got, I mean, he's still pulling that stuff out the world. God designed it that way.
He was making money on bottles of water.
Yeah.
Every time you sell a bottle of water, the whole world is almost 80% water and people are selling water. You know what I'm saying? Because it's just, there's avenues for God to bless you. You just got to be able to work in those avenues. You know what I'm saying?
I know I said that fast, but if you go back and listen to this thing and see how much of the resources this world has
in
the last 20 years, and it's just it's not running out. I don't care what anybody tells you, they still gonna have all in there.
Exactly,
they still got all somewhere. You know, they might have to go a little deeper, they might have to go a little further out or whatever. They still got all down there.
Yeah,
because God's not gonna let it all run out until to the end time harvest comes. Okay,
right.
Because he wants that wealth in our hands, okay? He wants in Sonny's, mine, and Christians like you out there. He wants the wealth in your hands because you do the principles, you'll be at a point where, hey, when God tells you to give, you're going to give. You know, the Holy Spirit shows you this, like Sonny was saying, you know. We can only give, right? I give a lot too now. I'm free to give. But imagine if I had the wealth of the sinner in my hands, how much I could give.
Exactly.
You know? And the thing is, you're not doing without. You know, you God sets it up where you can live comfortably good, but all the extra you can give.
Right, and you know, and the one thing, you know, sometimes you go through some things. You're gonna go through. We all go through seasons in our lives. Sometimes you go through a season where you'll be high and on top and everything. Sometimes you have go through seasons where you lose your job. And it's just being covered and knowing when God, if you set yourself up, well, you follow the principles of God, when things happen, it's not a shell shock to you. You don't freak out so much and just go crazy and it's like, oh, what am I going to do? Because God gives you peace in all those situations. Amen.
So let me end up with this. I got a couple more little points we're going to end up because I know time's about out. The wealth and the technology needed to reach the world with the gospel is available right now. It's always been available, and it's still available, okay? Christians must learn that God does intend for you to have the wealth of the wicked so you can use it to finance God's end-time harvest. God wants us to finance it, not, you know? So how are we going to do that unless we allow God? That's what God to do it, huh?
Yeah.
But, you know, so that's our foundation. And you see, God wants you to have wealth, bottom line, okay? He says right here, we know about the nature of God. He says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's Hebrews 13:8. That God's the same today. God's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Right.
And we're going to show later some more lessons down the road that in the Bible where God took the wicked. In the Old Testament, he did a whole bunch of people. Took the wicked and gave to him.
You say that over and over in the Bible. Yeah, it's like over and over. Look, you take Joseph, just for example. Joseph, and then they would have died from the famine. But he took Joseph and he put him in the thing. And Joseph had all the people bringing their grains to him.
Amen.
He was so blessed. He was collecting a part of everybody's grain. From going from a position where he was in the hole and lost everything, being in prison and everything, to everybody bringing his deck reigns to him being blessed, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
But you gotta look at the whole picture, everything Joseph went through to get there, and everything Joseph did as himself, you know. And, and that's just one example. Look, like Abraham, you stop and think of Abraham. Look, for Abraham's wife Sarah was 65 years old,
yeah,
when the when the Egyptian Pharaoh was lusting after her and wanted her for his wife. Now, think about that. You know, you type of thing, that must be a fine woman, you know what I'm saying, for her, the Pharaoh to be looking at her, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?
I ain't going to bleep that out. Yeah.
Are you talking about Jacob, with Rachel and everything? God said it, Rachel was a good-looking woman, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. If the Bible says you're good-looking, you're good-looking. And that's what God wants. You know, God wants to be blessed, and because he wants you to have things, nice things. Because
right.
Stress, when you don't have no money and you're broke and everything, it makes you
Amen.
Sick.
Amen.
It makes you sick, and it makes you upset. And you can't do nothing. You can't get people saved. I would give to the orphanage, but I can't. I ain't got no money. I would help this person, but I can't. I don't have no money. Mm-hmm. I would help that person. Oh, I can't. I don't have no money.
Right.
I would get my teeth fixed and do things that, you know, I should be doing, take care of my body. But I can't. I don't have no money.
Right.
And that's why the enemy always wants to keep you broke.
Because
if you're broke, then you're depressed. If you're depressed, then you're down.
Yeah.
And if you're down, then you don't help. Yeah. You're not good for nobody. You know what I'm saying? So it all ties in together.
Right. And I want y'all to know out there that, yes, we're talking about money. And yes, we're talking about, you have to give money, okay? But you guess what? Did we ask for any money? No,
we don't ask.
I'm not gonna ask for no money. So y'all can.
Yeah, the whole point about this is making sure that you're blessed.
Right, we want you to get blessed.
We want you to be blessed, so you can be part of it. Because look, we was there. I was there, Terry.
We're working on it, and we're still working on it.
We're getting
there, and we got a lot more to go. But it's because we found what the word says, and we're trying to do those principles, okay?
Exactly.
And they're working. They're working.
Exactly.
I'm not like I was 7 years ago.
No.
No way, you know?
No, I look at myself, and I say, how did I even let myself all these years ago become like that? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, it's just like, my gosh.
So we actually give us a chance. Don't turn us off because we're talking about money, you know? Don't turn us off. Just every week listen to one of these principles. That's all we ask, okay? It might have been too much. I hope I wasn't too hard. I just got excited. I got a passion for this, and I got excited, and I get excited, baby.
Yeah, because what? Like you say, it's about reaching the kingdom, you know what I'm saying?
That's our purpose.
And the end time harvest, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then God wants everybody to be blessed, including you. He wants you to be blessed out there, and he wants you to operate in his principle. And so if you started listening to each week and then listening to the messages and everything, and you start going out there, and not just ours, but they got a lot of good people out there, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Robert Morris and Dave Ramsey, and all these guys are really good people out there. You know, because you got to get to a point where you're tired. You're sick and tired of being sick and tired.
Yeah, yeah.
And you get to that point, you say, I'm just tired. Look, there are millions of people out there, because you read about Dave Ramsey, all his testimony, people wanting to hear how God's principle.
Right.
They're wanting to know it because they're tired of being the way they are. And that's what we want you to do. We want you to be blessed.
And I know there's a lot of people out there in our area that went through the storm, and you lost a lot of money. You don't have a lot no more.
Exactly.
Okay? And you say, oh man, you know, well, this is we're gonna show you how to get, because you might have been doing good before the storm, but now you find yourself, you know, in a bond.
Exactly.
Well, God can get you out of that.
Exactly. So let's pray for you like we do every week. We just want to thank you for letting us come into your home. And we like to pray for you that God bless you. You know, because sometimes we don't understand what God's wanting to do.
Mm-hmm.
And we might be wrestling in the area that we just weakened. You know, say about being fear and laziness, we don't mean it, you know, like you're lazy. You know what I'm saying? We just mean that God, you know, it's just sometimes we don't want to make decisions. But God's able to help you to make the right decisions. He's able to help you lay on your heart and everything. So Father God, we just pray right now in the name of Jesus, Lord God, that you lay on their hearts, Lord God, help them to make wise decisions, Lord God, and put those good opportunities out there for them where they can be blessed, Lord God. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.